say the game is getting old. Monday morning and your coffee's cold. Life is not what you want.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to New Direction. My name's Jay Izzo, and oh man, do we have another great show for you today. It's awesome. It's outstanding. It's fantastic. The book is entitled Becoming More. You can't get to better until you get to different. Amen. Can I get an amen from somebody out there in the crowd? By the way, if you're driving, listening to this show, please don't raise your hand off the wheel, okay? That's what I'm asking you to do. Don't do that for me, please. The book is outstanding. The author is outstanding. Diana Kokoska is going to be joining us here in just a second. And let me just say, as I open the show, I read a lot of books. I mean, I've read over, 500 books or something like this doing the show. I don't remember what the number is now. It's hundreds and hundreds of books. And every now and then there's a book that impacts me, impacts my life after I'm done reading it or while I'm reading it, where I have to slow down my reading because I want every word to be absorbed, not just in my mind, but in my will, in my emotions, and in my body. Becoming More is one of those books. I have said this. She brings this up in the book. Your business doesn't have a problem. You're the problem.
Yeah.
If your team's not growing, if your business isn't growing, it's not the team's fault. It's not the business's fault. It's you as the leader. And we don't understand very clearly the connection that when we are more, when we have becoming more, our businesses, our teams, the people around us become more because we infect people and people infect others. And so this is one of those books. So get your notes and pens. And if you're driving down the road listening to this via podcast, don't write, please, where you're doing this as a safety message to everybody else. But here's what I ask you to do. As you're driving down the road and you're listening to us, and you're probably listening to us in segments, take one or two things and just etch them in your mind. And when you get out of your car and you get your sticky note, I want you to write those two things down, one or two things down that you're going to take action on, because that's what the show's going to be about today, is to take that kind of action. So this is about taking action. This book is about action. This is a book about your limiting thoughts and your liberating thoughts. And that's you. Okay. So I want to introduce you to my new friend, Diana Kokoska. She is an entrepreneur, a keynote speaker, author, mentor. She's an award-winning business leader, and she's established herself as a prominent figure in the business world, developing many leaders during her longevity, dedicating 13 years as the CEO of Keller Williams Maps, coaching, training at Keller Williams Realty International. She played a pivotal role in propelling the company to become the largest, most profitable coaching enterprise in the real estate industry. She's a board member of Growing Leaders, a John Maxwell Leadership Foundation organization, and captures every opportunity to journey alongside Equip Leadership. She's also involved in the Inner Circle now, a nonprofit. The Equip Leadership was a nonprofit dedicated to instilling values in individuals and transforming nations. Her greatest passions revolve around developing leaders and encouraging individuals to recognize and harness their innate potential. Amen. Amongst her impressive achievements, Diana's most cherished titles are wife, mother, and grandmother. Her genuine concern for welfare of the others serves as the driving force behind all her endeavors, fueling her unwavering commitment to add value to others. And you're going to learn that today. So ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show and welcome to A New Direction for the first time, Diana Kokoska. Welcome, my friend.
Thank you so much. I thank you for the opportunity.
Let's just dig in to the deliciousness of this book, shall we? Let's do this. Chapter one is Embracing Different. You first get to do different through choice is kind of this little subtitle that comes under this. And you say everything in life first originates from a choice. Not making a choice bears consequences. And bigger regret is more frightening than your choices. Let's talk about getting us wrapped around, first thing, embracing different and making choices?
Well, different is scary for a lot of people because the past, we already know what's happened in the past and we're comfortable. Mm-hmm. Yet in the future, we don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we don't want to change. Mm-hmm. We like that comfort zone. And I believe that that holds us back because when we look at different, that means we have to do something different. Mm-hmm. And that's outside our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So when we think about the choices that we make, we are either preparing or we're repairing. Mm. We are either moving forward or we're moving backward. And the only thing that means which way we're going to go is the decision that we make. Mm. So we have to make the choice. If we don't like our life, let's stop complaining about it. And I say, stop complaining about what you tolerate. Let's figure out what we're going to do and move forward. And the book helps us train our brain to a new way of thinking. Mm.
Chapter 2 is grow within or go without. And you say, yeah, life must be lived from the inside out. Talk about us living life from the inside out. What does that mean?
Well, when we believe that the external world is more important than the internal world, then our brain will just keep responding the exact same way that it's always responded, and we'll always get what we've always gotten, right? Einstein told us best when he said that insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And so we have to change on the inside. And I tell a story about my son and I. He had lost his wife to cancer, and he said, Mom, I've got to go clean out our vacation home in Mexico, and I can't do that by myself. And I said, well, of course, I'll go with you. And we're strolling along the beach one evening, and Jay, it's very interesting. We saw this big place. It had all this orange net around it, and it looked like they were guarding the gold in Fort Knox, right? I went, what in the world is that? And he said, oh, Mom, they're protecting the turtle eggs because if a predator gets in there, well, the turtles aren't born. And he said, if we're lucky enough and we're around, we'll help them get down to the ocean, right? Because they have to scurry from where the eggs are down to the water before the predators get them. And as we walked along, I thought to myself, it's kind of like life. If that egg is broken from the outside, life ends. Mm. If it's broken from the inside out, life begins, new things happen. And I thought sometimes people allow the external world to get to them. They actually allow something from the external world to break them down and to kill those hopes and those dreams that they once had in their heart. And I believe that they're put in our heart because we are to accomplish those. Mm. But we got to do it from the inside. And that inside force has to be stronger than what the external world is giving to us.
Mm. So beautiful. We're going to move to chapter 3 because you built this model. It's a pyramid, becoming on one axis and being on the bottom axis across. And we're going to kind of walk through some of this because, folks, I've got 57 pages of notes. We are not going to get through all of this today. So if you're hoping I'm going to get through the entire book, you're going to need to get the book, okay? Sorry, just get the book, okay? It's really simple to do. And so we're gonna walk through much of this pyramid, though, and maybe skip some parts here and there just to kind of walk through it a little bit. Okay. But we're going to move to chapter 4, from human being to human becoming. And I thought there was something that was just very clever that you wrote. And I know I've probably seen it. I just missed it, I think, before, or it didn't mean as much to me then as it meant now. And folks, I want you to listen to the words. I want you to pay attention to the spelling of the words. Here it is. The line is, change impossible to I'm possible. Same spelling. Impossible to I'm possible. Okay. What are we doing here? It's clever, but what are we talking about when we're trying to change impossible to I'm possible?
I think it's all in our thoughts and the way that we speak to ourselves. See, in the book, I talk about the four storytellers in our mind. Mm. The first storyteller is the devious storyteller. That's the one that wants to tell us it's impossible. We can't do it. We can't make it. We're too short. We're too this, too that. But we just don't have what it takes. And then we have the flattering storyteller that sometimes tells us, oh, you don't need to take that class. You don't need to learn anymore. You've got this aced. You've got it under control. And then pride cometh before the fall. The third storyteller is the one that scares me to death. It is the reasonable storyteller. Mm. It's the one that gives us excuses and reasons as to why something is happening. It tells us to blame the world, blame everybody else. And as my dad always said, you point the finger one way, you've got three of them pointing back at you. The odds are 3-1, it's your own fault. Take responsibility and move on. The fourth one is the empowering storyteller. It's the one that allows us to say, I am possible. That dream is possible. Shut up, devious storyteller. Be quiet. It is not impossible. I'm the one that will make it happen. I'm the one that will overcome things. And when we get up in the morning, we tell ourselves that we have the courage to move forward. We have what it takes to do whatever we need to have done. And that's what I'm talking about, is allow that I'm possible to come out.
Mm. There's something that you said in this book that struck me as you just were talking about this. And I didn't have it in my notes in terms of question I was going to ask, but I can't resist it now. And that is, there's two powerful words that are made up of three letters that I'd love you to talk about. And it's the two words, I am. Yeah. Why are those two words so powerful and important?
Yeah, what we say after those words, Jay, is very important, because I am great, or I am stupid, or I am somebody that can't do that. I mean, what do we say after I am? Because our brain, the way that it is structured, we have an experience. And then that experience leads us, for our brain to go through the filing cabinets looking for things that have happened before and say, oh, this is just like that. And we make up a judgment that fast. Mm. And once we make up a judgment, our brain makes up a story. Now, there's a little part of our brain called the reticular activating system, RAS for short. It's kind of like our Google search engine. We say we want to look this up on the computer. We type it in. It doesn't show us everything on the World Wide Web. It only shows us what we ask for. Yeah. Well, when we say, I am, that RAS grabs hold of that and it says, oh, that's who you desire to be? Well, your wish is my command. And it literally filters out everything else that is happening around us and only shows us what we ask for. Therefore, we're kind of predicting our future when we talk about I am. And we're connecting those neural pathways in our brain to structure the way that we act around the way we talk about ourselves. Mm-hmm. So we're literally helping to form who we are based on what we say after I am. Mm. So I'm going to challenge the people that are listening to this. Think about the declarations that you desire. Have maybe five of them that you say every single morning. Mm. And one lady said, well, yeah, I can say I am a great leader, only I don't feel like a great leader. I said, well, what would a great leader look like? And she told me, and I said, well, when you say I am a great leader, picture yourself as that person. Now you've got the feelings, you've got the emotions, and you've got the words working together. Mm. And think about this. You can't have an emotion unless you attach it to something. Mm. So that's why I had her attach it to a picture as she said the words. Mm. Now she's getting the neural pathways growing together, because neuroscience tells us that nerve cells that fire together wire together. Mm. And when they're wired together, you instantly go to that thought, and you've got the emotions backing it up, which is the best way to live life.
When we think about this whole thing of I am and what we say to ourselves, you made a statement that wasn't in this particular chapter, but you know, people go, oh, you want me to fake it till you make it. And you say, no, don't fake it till you make it. Face it until you make it.
I can definitely tell that you read the book. And I love that line, because face it till you make it just means that, hey, I'm facing the fact that I'm not there yet. And I love that word, yet. Mm-hmm. I can't afford that yet. I haven't accomplished that yet. I had Bayer Batard, a gentleman up in Canada, and he sent me a video with a letter that, or an email, I should say, that stated how he had always had this dream to climb mountains. And he kept hearing the voice in his head, the devious one, telling him how he couldn't do it. He wasn't structured properly. He didn't have the stamina, all these things as to why he couldn't climb mountains. And when he read that part, face it till you make it, he said, I faced who I was. I built my strength. I built my stamina. And he sent me a video of him on top of Mount Kilimanjaro reading my book. And it was like, wow. He has since climbed 7 additional mountains, and he's going for Mount Everest. See, I want to rekindle those dreams because they were put in our heart for a reason. And when we think about or talk about how we can't do something, let's change that. Can't was a swear word in our house. So let's figure out how we can do it. And let's just face where we're at and keep going until we make it, right?
Yeah. And I think this is where the start of, you know, chapter 6 called Your Journey to More. You have your copywritten journey model that starts with, this is where we're at, the status quo, right? This is where I'm at, right. The status quo. And then we get the opportunity call, but then we experience some dissonance, right? This is where the dissonance comes in. You say there's the dissonance comes from 4 deep desires. The desire to improve our environment, which includes improving yourself, to be understood, to be loved, and to belong. Help us kind of work through this, because you and I both know that there's listeners out there that are experiencing that they've got some desires to do things and not do things, but they're experiencing something that my environment's not what I want it to be, and I don't know how to improve myself. I'm not being understood. I want to be loved, but I don't feel loved, and I want to belong, but I don't belong. Can you help us walk through how we could kind of work through that dissonance?
So good. And this is where coaches and mentors come in so well, because they help us a lot. And I know that you help a lot of people right now, Jay, doing this, because the environment is 80% of our success. When we allow that environment to mean more to us than we do to ourselves, right? We can't give value to other people unless we value ourselves. We can't give what we don't have. So when we desire to improve that environment, which includes improving ourselves, everything starts with looking in the mirror. I love that song. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. Nothing could have become more clear, you know? And so we look at the environment. We say, what do I want instead? That's one of my favorite questions when people complain. Well, what do you want instead? Write that down, what you want instead. Number 2, you want to be understood. Well, people cannot understand anyone unless they come down to where you're at or up to where you're at. So if you want someone to understand you, what is it that they need to know to truly understand where you're at? And tuning into your thought process, your mindset, to your energy. So if you want to be understood, why don't you match their energy and tell them the story? And then that way, they'll listen at a different level. Number 3, to be loved. I mean, we have to be loved. Touch is part of something that is necessary to live. A baby that is not touched does not live. That's why they put it on the mother's stomach the minute it's born, to feel the touch, to know that it belongs to someone. And then 4th, to belong, a group, a community, a team. Start one yourself. how about finding other people that don't feel like they belong? I'll bet you they would love to be part of a group. Think about what you desire, what you love to do. Maybe it's you like to bike ride. Then go find other people that like to ride bikes and start a little small group in your house. And you can belong to something. You don't have to go out and have people say, oh, please come join our group, right? No, that's like picking people in school, like they were taking teams. Pick me, pick me. You don't have to be that anymore. You can be the team captain. Mm-hmm. You figure out the group. You figure out the people you want to surround yourself with and either start a group or go find the group of the people that you desire to be like, because you will become like the people you hang out with.
Her name is Diana Kokoska. The book is Becoming More. You can't get to better until you get to different. It's awesome. And she is even awesomer. I made that up. You're listening to her here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, sponsors, Zoundy. I love it. I use them. It's a game changer. If you're an author, publisher in the audiobook space, you should be on Zoundy. Let me tell you why. I was speaking at a conference in Salt Lake City a while back, and Zoundy gave me a code that people could download my one of my audiobooks for free. And you go, well, why would you do that? And here's the deal. So I have their email addresses. And I interact with my listener readers. And I got to ask them questions like, well, what did you like about the book? What didn't you like about the book? Where could I improve? What would you like to see me write next? You know, what would be helpful to you? And it was such a great experience to interact with your readers. I'm telling you, check it out. I have a special code. Go to zoundy.com/J. That's zoundy.com/J. Put in my code J25, J-A-Y-2-5, special savings. You're going to be so glad you did. Great platform. And Linda Craft Team Realtors, listen, for more than 40 years, you know what? They have been in the business of helping people transition in life. And you go, wait, they're real estate people. What do you mean transition in life? Well, think about it. Every place you've ever lived has been a life transition. And that's what they've done successfully for thousands of people for the last 40 years, because they know how to take the stress and reduce the stress out of that part of your transition. So listen, when you're ready to reduce the stress, whether it's selling a home, buying a home, check them out, lindacraft.com, lindacraft.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend Diana Kokoska. Her book, Becoming More, You Can't Get to Better Until You Get to Different. It's food for thought, isn't it? Diana, we're going to go to chapter 7, Thoughts, Narratives on Repeat. You know, a lot of people dismiss this, how the way we think. And, you know, I used to teach brain anatomy and function. And so, you know, I've told people about vesicular release of neurotransmitter. Yes, I'm getting geeky. And, you know, I'm talking about dendrites and neurons and 100 billion and synaptic cleft and the 5,000 neurochemicals that pass through. Yeah. Okay. We get it. All right. It's a lot. Okay. But our thoughts do change our chemistry. Mm-hmm. Right? And there's this inescapable storyteller, and there's this, the flatterer, the reasonable, the empowering storyteller that we kind of talk about a little bit.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this flatterer and the reasonable and the empowering. Let's talk about them. Cause we've talked about the villain, right?
Yeah.
And we talked about the villain, the coach, the mentor, you know, we talk about those, but let's talk about cause the flatterer doesn't last very long. Right? Because people think that I words of affirmation, right? But then what happens with words of affirmation? I want more.
Right.
Right? Work us through that just a little bit more in detail, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing about the flattering storyteller is that a lot of people start believing their own press. That first they don't believe in themselves, then all of a sudden they start believing in themselves. They have success, and they think that success they did all by themselves. No one succeeds alone. Mm. We need clients. We need customers. We need team members. We need support from our family. Yet somehow, some way, our brain likes to think that we did it all by ourselves. Mm. And when we start buying into that, mm-hmm. it can actually cause us to go down because it sends out this energy. And I believe that everybody has an energetic calling card that reaches people way beyond and faster than the fact of giving them a card, a business card. And that flattering storyteller sends off this energy of almost like, oof, wow, you really think you're something, right? Mm-hmm. And then our business starts going down. Things start happening to us to remind us that we've got to be a little bit more humble. Mm-hmm. Now, that reasonable storyteller, people use that one all the time. I've used it myself, you know. Well, I did that because that happened because, or if that person wouldn't have done that, then I wouldn't have done this. Instead of saying, that was a choice I made. Mm. That was something that I was responsible for. And that's when the empowering storyteller really kicks in. I'll tell you a story. When I had started my own real estate agency and grew it to multiple locations and started a property management division, and then I made one critical mistake. I turned over the books and the property management division to a friend who needed a job. And, well, I trusted her. And while I was out growing the business, she was quietly siphoning rent checks, mortgage payments unpaid, homeowners still receiving those fake everything's fine reports. And I was blind to it all because I wasn't watching my money. And I woke up one morning responsible for 216 unpaid mortgage payments. Mm. I'm telling you, I went into victim mode. I had victim thoughts. I was living out the victim, this role in the story of my own life. And until I literally took responsibility and told the empowering storyteller to take over and the reasonable and the excuse-making storyteller to be quiet, my life was terrible. Once I took responsibility and allowed that empowering storyteller to say, hey, own this, pick up the phone, call every homeowner, call the banks, beg for them to spare the homeowner's credit, sell what you need to sell, do what you need to do, and take your life back. Well, I did sell my businesses. I sold some of my belongings, and I went back into selling real estate, and I cleaned houses on the side. And eventually, I paid it all back. But if I would not have allowed that empowering storyteller to take over in my life, if I would have kept blaming her, if I'd have kept blaming the market, because the market had shifted terribly and it had gone down with many foreclosures happening, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. And it taught me what no business school ever could, for heaven's sakes. But the biggest thing I can say to the listeners is allow that empowering storyteller to run your life. It will empower you in a way that you have no idea what can take place. Mm. Because when we take responsibility for our thoughts, for our words, for our actions, life gets so much better. Mm.
So beautifully said, and I hate to jump to this, but it's so important. And it's that the problem is that our thoughts build cages. And you say we're designed to be great, and yet we continually sabotage ourselves by thinking mediocre thoughts about who we are and the experiences we encounter. Yes. And let's talk about how we sabotage ourselves through our thinking. Because I think there's a lot of people out there who you don't even realize that they're self-sabotaging.
No, and they don't realize that they built the cage, that they live in a prison that they built for themselves. Mm. And this book will help give you a key to get out of prison, because we're not a hostage to our past. We're the architect of our future. Mm. And a lot of people, as I said earlier, they want to live in the past because they know what happened in the past. Mm. The future is frightening. There was a research study of people that had gotten out of prison after being in prison for many years. And as we've heard, many of them end up back in prison. Mm-hmm. And they were curious, why were we not placing these people in a environment where they learned enough to get out of prison, stay out of prison. And what they didn't realize is the brain had been trained in a certain way. Mm-hmm. I call it the 6-12-6 syndrome, right? At 6 a.m., they got breakfast. At 12, they got lunch. At 6 p.m., they got dinner. And their brain was 6-12-6 every single day for many, many, many years. And that was the story of their life that they had created. And that was comfort for them. It was their comfortable zone. Now they get out in the real world. It's frightening. It's scary. Nobody's there to fix breakfast, lunch, or dinner. They're on their own. Yes, they have been prepared in certain ways, and some make it and some don't. And I believe the reason they don't is that we become hostage to our thoughts. Mm-hmm. The 6-12-6 syndrome was more comfortable for them to go back to that than to face the future and move forward. And I don't mean that badly about anyone. I hope you don't take it that way. Mm. It's just the mere fact that, well, let me ask you, is alcohol a drug?
I would say so.
And can we get hooked on alcohol?
Absolutely.
If we drink a lot? Yeah. Sure. And are drugs a drug? I mean, yes, of course. We can get hooked on drugs. And what people don't realize, if alcohol is a chemical and drugs are a chemical and our thoughts produce chemicals, mm-hmm. and we can get hooked on alcohol and we can get hooked on drugs, they don't realize we get hooked on our thoughts. Because those thoughts produce the same chemicals over and over again, just like taking in alcohol and drugs. And until we start changing our thought process, nothing in our life is going to change. It all begins with a thought. Disneyland, Disney World, nothing of Disney would be around if Walt Disney didn't first have the thought. The Empire State Building wouldn't have been built if someone first did not see it in their mind and have that thought to bring it to fruition. So, everything begins with the thought. What kind of thoughts are we having every day? And when we have a negative thought, do we catch ourselves and switch it to a positive thought? Because we can get hooked on those endorphins that make us happy. And we can actually feed ourselves great health by staying in a positive mindset with positive thoughts.
I don't want to get too technical here. That's not what I want to do here to the audience or to anyone, actually. But if you think about that, your thoughts, if you have negative thoughts, you're reducing your dopamine and you're reducing your serotonin.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you may not understand that, but if you figure that you have 100 billion neurons that run in your body, brain, and this is a little drug that passes through all 100 million of them, and your negative thoughts reduce the amount of dopamine, which is our happy drug, and our serotonin, which is our antidepressant drug, and you're reducing them, what do you think happens in your brain? Now, Diana's already said, right, you know, when we make these connections, we keep doing them over and over and over again, and we create these habitual connections, right? You start, they get wired together, and then it becomes ants, automatic negative thoughts. Right. And so then what happens is you start going down that path. You change your thinking, right, to more positive, right? Now you kick up your dopamine, you kick up your serotonin. Right. And so then what happens is now you've reversed it chemically. And that's really part of the big chemistry picture in our brain and in our body, that it changes everything. We're healthier, we sleep better. All sorts of great things happen that change us physically. I'm just throwing that out there. And I'm sorry for commandeering that, but I just felt that.
No, I love that, because that's what people need to hear right now. We have so many people that are anxious, they're depressed, they're stressed to the hilt. And I'm going, let's start by changing our thinking, because when we change our thinking, we change our world.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, you have a quote here from Yanla Van Zandt. Until you heal the wounds from your past, you will continue to bleed into the future. What a powerful quote that you put in here. Let's talk about that for a second, because I don't think I think what we try to do is we try to ignore the wounds from the past, or we don't want to look at the wounds from the past, or we don't want to believe that they're affecting us. You know, I left the past in the past, so I don't, you know, this isn't a problem for me. But yeah. Our scabs are huge.
And we all have them.
Yeah, yes, we do. Yes. And some of us have had them longer than others. I was going to be honest about that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting because since I wrote the book, I've started doing a coaching blitz where people say it should be a communication blitz, not just for coaches. And I've started having leaders show up because they want to know how to communicate with their people. And I have this thought. We have a home on Mission Beach in San Diego, and there's people there that they have running parachutes. So I just want the people to picture that running parachute. They runners strap them on their back and they run, and that ocean breeze pushes the parachute, opens it up, and now they're having to run using their strength even more and building their muscles in their legs. When they take that parachute off, they run faster. So I've developed a model and system that allows people to go in and help others release or cut the straps to that running parachute that we all have. We have limiting mindsets. We have limiting beliefs. We have limiting thoughts. And most people call them limiting beliefs. I'm starting to call them running parachutes. Let's clip those things off and let's let you run faster so you get to the goals that you absolutely desire. And there's a story. It's not in my book yet. It was about a gentleman. It's kind of a joke where he goes to heaven, right? And he's meeting the pearly gates, St. Peter, and he's been a general. And he goes to St. Peter and he said, "Tell me, St. Peter, who's the greatest general of all times?" Expecting to hear St. Peter said, "Well, it was you, of course." And he said, "Oh, the greatest general of all times, it would be that guy over there." And he points to this other person and he looks at him and he goes, "That was my next door neighbor. He was never a general." And he said, "Yeah, I know. Yet he would have been the greatest general that ever lived if we could have just gotten him through his limiting beliefs." And I'm going, how can we help cut those running parachutes, change those limiting beliefs to allow people to become the person that they are meant to be? Because every one of us have a gift. And I just believe that a lot of people haven't opened their gift up yet. And that's why we're here, to help them. You coach a lot of people. You coach people through this. And I know you've seen many people that once they break through, cut those straps to that parachute, man, they run like crazy.
It's amazing. I was on a client this morning, and we've been working together for a while, and I said, "Have you stopped to take a look at how far you've come?"
That's good.
And I said, "The questions you're asking weren't the questions you're asking me 2 years ago." I said, "You're in a whole different place."
Yeah.
Your curiosity is now asking a deeper, bigger question. I said, "Do you remember the questions you were asking me at the beginning?" And he goes, he started laughing and he said, "Oh my gosh, I'm thinking about it now. You must have thought I was a moron." I said, "No." I said, "It's just where you were at the time. You were, because you didn't know where you were at and you didn't know how much you could become." But yeah. I said, "Look at you now. The questions are deeper and richer and bigger because you're trying to solve bigger problems. The problems that you had before, they aren't a big problem to you anymore. The problems that you want to solve now, right, are just another step. You look at those old problems and you go, well, of course I could solve those now. But at the time you couldn't. But look at you now. You're solving those." And sometimes we, you know, there's a book called The Gap and the Gain.
Yes.
And sometimes we focus on what I don't have, right, the gain, that we don't stop to take a look at how far we've come.
I agree with that. I think Dan Sullivan did a good job on that. And also the curiosity versus the judgment. Those are two mindsets that we have. And a lot of people speak about mindset, Jay, and they think the attitude and mindset are one and the same, and they're not, because our attitude lives in our conscious mind and our mindset lives in our unconscious mind. And so people don't realize what is their mindset. And I broke it down to seven that liberate us and seven that limit us. And I the last 2 years I've literally spent on a mindset assessment that the people can take. It's 14mindsets.com, and it gives you the mindset. It takes about 15 minutes, and it will give you the percentage of the liberating mindsets you have, the percentage of the limiting mindsets you have, and it will even spell out a program, 30-day up to 6-month program, to help you change the mindsets more from scarcity to abundant, from fixed to growth, doubt to confidence, negative to positive, hubris to humility, or judgment to curiosity, or entitlement to gratitude. And I think that gratitude is one of the biggest ones that I find. Once we help people get more into gratitude, their thoughts become more positive. They find the love that they were looking for. They find the group that they're looking for. They feel like they belong to something. So I'm just excited for people to be able to listen to this and to take action on their own life and change their story from what they're living to the story they desire.
What was the name of that website again for everybody?
It's 14mindsets.com. We just opened it up. Like I said, it's been 2 years in the making, and it will give you the prototype that you are. It will tell you even great people that have the same mindsets that you do. We zero in on the top three liberating mindsets because we want to build on strengths. And we also allow you to know what to do to help bring up more liberating mindsets.
Is that spelled is it the number 14 mindsets, or is it spelled out?
Thank you. Oh, yes, that's great. It is the number 14mindsets.com.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll put that up, folks. We'll put that up. I'll put that in the show notes to this show on the blog post. So if you've forgotten it, just go, you know, you just go to coachingmavericks.com and you'll see it right there in her blog post, and she'll have that there. You know what? Here, I got to do this. Gosh, I got to talk about my sponsors. You're listening to Diana Kokoska and her book, Becoming More. Becoming More, just listening to her. You can't get to better until you get be different. I am different already. You're listening to her here on A New Direction. Hey, folks, got to talk about my sponsors, Zoundy. Love them. Authors, listen, you should be on a publisher's. You need to get on it. I got on it right away. It has been a game changer. Interact with the people who listen to my books. It's amazing. And I get so much great feedback, and it's helping me become better as I get in tune with what people want and want me to write about. And it's just awesome. So check out Zoundy.com, Zoundy.com/J, and use my code JAY25. And you're going to get special savings, Zoundy.com/J. Use the code JAY25 for special savings. Lindacraft Team Realtors, for more than 40 years, they've been known as the legends of customer service and helping people all over the world. But I want to talk about their website, because there's a lot of real estate websites out there. This one's special and different, and I'll tell you why. You know, they brought in a child psychologist to talk about how to move with children. It's pretty cool. They brought in veterinarians to talk about how to move with your pets, and just information after information that they do. Do they got the listings and all that stuff? Yeah, they do. But then there's just other information that they bring in that will help you in your relocation, in your move, settling in your house, that you're probably not thinking about when you go to a real estate website. And that's something they do special. So check them out at lindacraft.com. It's L-I-N-D-A-C-R-A-F-T.com. And we're back here on A New Direction with my friend Diana Kokoska. I'm having a great time. I can't speak for her. I'm having a blast.
I'm enjoying myself. I love what you do and how you help so many people. And I'm very impressed how many books you read. You are a plethora of knowledge, that's for certain.
Well, I don't know if I'm a plethora. I just know that there's a lot of stuff in there. I just know that for sure. You made a comment here about the difference between belief and beliefs, and I think we talked about beliefs and value. I know you talk about beliefs and values. I want to get this straight for people because I do want to talk about beliefs and values. And you say beliefs are what you hold to be true, sometimes even without proof. Values operate as a standard that designate the traits and qualities you view as most important to life. But yet they are connected, right? Help us talk through values and beliefs a little bit.
Well, they are connected because your beliefs help form your values. And you can work with people that don't have the same beliefs, yet, man, you do not get along with people that do not have the same values. That's a big one. Your values help determine your mindset. They help you actually determine the emotions that are going to come out. Because when someone rubs your value the wrong way, you kind of get that fight or flight inside of you, right? You want to defend those values that you have. And we all have different values, whether it be achievement, significance, success for ourselves, family, faith, whatever it is, those values are dear to our heart. And those values we will defend to the utmost level. And I tell people, I say, write down your five great values, and you can do five for business and five for your personal life. And then don't go to the dictionary and look them up. Say, what does that value mean to me? Now, the next part of the exercise is when it gets real interesting. Like, so where did you use that value to your benefit? And then the worst part of it is saying, where could I have used that value that I didn't? And that's where the real true learning comes in, to figure out, is that a value that you hold, or is it just something that you think is valuable to you, right?
Yeah.
So I love the exercise. In fact, there is a lady that is in Savannah, Georgia, and she said, Diana, out of all the chapters, she said, I read that chapter five times working through it. And I realized that I wasn't using the value in my business. I wasn't talking about the values to my children. I wasn't using the values in my advertising. And so she started doing that. And after about 6 months, she called me back and she said, Diana, you will never believe what happened once I started advertising and putting my values, not naming them, just using words that let people know what my values were. I started attracting people to my company that I loved working with. And I said, well, of course, we attract who we are, not what we want, right?
Right.
So we've got to become it before we can attract it to us. People want to, they think that, oh, if I had what so-and-so had, I could do what they do, and then I could be like them. And then I call that the victim of life, right? The villain thinks, well, you just have to do it. You just do it, and then you'll have what they have, and you can be like them. But the hero of our life story knows that you have to be like them to do what they do, and then you'll have what they have. And they live their life in be, do, have. And those values, well, they're pretty dear to our hearts. We hang on to them.
I ran across this with a client, owned a significant audiovisual business. And I ran into this to the client, and I was talking to them about their values. And I tried to really get them to understand it's not the values that you want to be. It has to be the values of who you are.
Right.
Because people, you've done this, Diana. You've been coaching for years. And I know you've coached with businesses and individuals, and everybody wants to throw out the word integrity. Okay.
Yeah.
Let me just say something from a coach's perspective. If I have to tell you I have integrity, we have a problem.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. If I have to mention it in my values that we have integrity, we got issues here, okay, that are bigger than the words that you printed on the page. And if this is something that you're wanting to achieve, then we have a deeper talk that we need to talk about in addition to that. So, well,
you know what hits my mind when you say integrity is that big wall that was at Enron.
Yeah.
You walked in and right. Integrity was the entire wall.
Yes.
Integrity. And we all know what happened to Enron. So we'll just leave it there.
Well, we get skeptical when we see the word integrity as the core values that they print on the wall. We immediately have skepticism because it's like, we have integrity. Oh, you're telling me that's scaring me. You know, I mean, we get frightened by that. It actually works in the opposite way that you think. And I try to explain, and I think this is what you're trying to do too, is your values come from who you are.
That's correct.
And they are deep within your soul. But you probably have not spent enough time, and this is what the book is doing. You probably haven't spent enough time to even ask yourself what's deep in my soul.
That's what I'm finding with the people that have read the book. And they actually, one lady said, this is a workbook. This is not a book. This is a workbook for life.
Yes,
and
it is.
And
it
I
is.
Love that she said that. And she said the little things that she picked up, like that the secret of your future is hidden in your daily routine. Mm. And I just finished a Zoom call with my inner circle where I do a mentorship program. John Maxwell and I team up and we help people with leadership and life. And we were talking about that this morning and how their values are woven into their daily schedule. Mm. And I said, if I could follow you for the first 10 minutes of your morning, I could predict your life. And they go, how? And I, because your first 10 minutes is your mirror to life. Do you, I'll challenge everybody here. Before your feet hit the floor tomorrow morning, give five things you're grateful for. Say them out loud if you want to. You know, I'm grateful for the shower. I'm grateful for water pressure, hot water, whatever. And then see if your morning is just a little bit different. What do you do in the morning? Do you do declarations? Do you have affirmations? Look at that morning routine and say, is this serving me or is it hurting me? Because it's doing one or the other, right?
Yes.
Are the priorities in place? Is thinking time in my schedule? Do I incorporate self-development? All these different things. Right. But it's that first 10 minutes tells us how our day is going to be, because the way we start the day allows other people to treat us what we started out with.
And I think that's a great place to end this, because we've done an hour, and which has gone very fast for me. I wish we had more time that we could do more. But this has been, I think that's a great place, because gratitude changed my life. When I started writing down seven things I was grateful for every day, and I was challenged to do it for 30 straight days. The big thing I noticed, and then it turned into 60, then it turned to 90, then it turned into a year, then it turned into 2 years, then it turned to 3 years, and moved and keeps going. What I noticed about gratitude is this. The things that I initially were grateful for, like my cup of coffee with the roof over my head, started changing to, I'm grateful that I'm better today than I was yesterday.
It's so good.
That, you know, that I have a passion for people, right? All of a sudden I watched what I was really grateful for reveal itself.
Right.
And that's the power in your morning routine. And listen, I can promise you that Diana and my routine is probably not like yours. Most of you, maybe, hopefully it is. But I promise you that We're doing great. We're doing gratitudes. We're checking in, doing our devotional time. We're checking in, trying to get our mind and spirit and soul and emotions and our body right. I promise you that's what we're doing every day. I promise you that's what we're doing. Because it changed us, and we know it can change you. So Diana, as we end this, how can people get a hold of you? And I know you've got a little promo you'd like to give, and I'd love to give you that opportunity.
Well, they can reach me at Diana, DiannaK.com. Real simple, DianaK.com. They can find me on Facebook. LinkedIn is probably the fastest and easiest. And of course, the mentorship program that I do with John Maxwell, we have only 30 people in this group. I love small groups because then everybody gets to know each other. We help each other. We mastermind with each other. John gives a call every month. I give a call every month. We bring in other thought leaders, and we have 3 events. Everything is covered in the events, the Zoom calls, of course, but it's only $1,500 a month. So if interested, go to DianaK.com, and I'd love to see you there. We only allow 30, and it's almost filled up. Starts October 15th of this year.
That's awesome. Diana, stay with me, please. Folks, this is the show. You know what I say to you every week? You're in control of 3 things: your attitude, your effort, and your resiliency. The fact of the matter is, life is not going to give you always what you want. You're going to be in circumstances that you didn't choose. That always happens. But you know, you're absolutely in control of your attitude. You can choose it, right? I'm not saying it's always easy, but you can choose that attitude. Start with choosing your attitude. And your effort is tied to your excellence. You know, we all don't have the same amount of energy in the tank every day, but whatever you have, will you be excellent with it? That's your effort, and that's your choice. And then finally, we all get punched in the gut and knocked in the teeth and get knocked down. But it's up to us to get back up. But that's our resilience. And we need you to get back up. Why? Because you're worth it, and we want you on the team. I'll be back next week with another great guest who's got another great book. It's going to be another great show. You know what? You had a lot of choices. You chose us. I'm grateful for that. Thank you. Tell a friend. You know, give us a thumbs up on YouTube, wherever you listen to the show, via podcast. Will you do me a favor and write us a 5-star review? We'd really appreciate it. And as I say to you all over the world, you know what that is. Ciao, everybody.
Change. You can find the strength to go a different way, yeah. The time has come, your dreams will take your place.